Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from St. Matthew, the 7th chapter, today's Holy Gospel. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." This is God's word. Perhaps when all is said and done, if the year 2020, which, yes, still has 5 months to go, if this year will be remembered for anything above even pandemic and how that's uprooted our lives, perhaps we'll be remembered as the year we struggled the greatest with misinformation. I mean, I want you to think about how the question of whether or not you can trust what's being told to you, that's been on our minds, especially as we're trying to figure out, does this treatment work for COVID-19? Is Sweden doing the right thing towards the pandemic? Are face masks as helpful as we think they are? All of these things that you have, I think the most difficult thing is to know is it's not just, you know, armchair epidemiologists who are saying, oh yeah, masks do nothing. It's some doctors who contradict what other doctors say. You have one organization that says one thing and yet another that says something totally different. We have the CDC saying our kids need to return to school, and yet we have others saying, no, we have to be very careful. This might not be able to happen. Who do you trust for information? Now, this has been made even more difficult by the fact that literally any of us can put information out there, right? For the last 20 years or so, we've had social media. I can put out all sorts of information on Facebook. Maybe some of you have had something you've posted on Facebook that Facebook has taken down and said this is false or misleading information. And then that begs the bigger question. Does Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all the different sources of social media, do they all have an obligation to police what's put on their platform? That was the question they were asking in Washington this week when they brought the heads of all the tech companies in to testify before Congress on censorship. Can we trust what information is out there? That's very, very difficult to do. And we've been trying to wend our way through the minefields of information that has been out there, especially in these last few months. Now, that's important. The information about COVID-19 is important. Very important. We've been taking that very seriously at our Redeemer, in how we act and how we present ourselves, the decisions we make. We take that very seriously. The information you have to kind of weed through. But there is a level of false information that is out there that is far more significant, far more deadly, far more costly than what a group of doctors might be saying about treatments with COVID-19, what this person might be saying about the threats to our American freedoms, what that person might be posting on their Twitter feed. There is false information far more deadly than anything else out there. And it's that about which Jesus speaks in our gospel today. Beware false prophets. I am not suggesting that we have no right to be concerned about the other things present in our society. What I am saying, they are all far less of a concern than are we hearing God's true word or are false prophets in our midst. And Jesus would remind us that, yes, they are. You cannot take for granted that just because someone has the look of being from God and godly, or adorns their words with flowery, maybe even biblical language, or even appears to be doing all the right things in life, do not make a presumption that the teaching you are hearing is from God. COVID may take your life. Cancer may take your life. Violence may take your life. Heart disease may take your life. False teaching can take more than your life. As Jesus would remind us, fear him who can take both your body and your soul. How many of us have spent more time concerned in these last few weeks about whether or not we should wear masks? And now, congratulations, Wisconsin residents, you're a part of this world now where we have a mask mandate, and is it going to be enforced or not, right? How much time have we spent worrying about that compared to being concerned about the pure preaching and teaching of God's word in place of the misinformation of false prophets? And what this is going to do for you this morning, dear friends in Christ, this morning, I'm going to place a big burden on you. Yay, can't wait, right? So glad I came this morning. This is important, though, because this is a burden that God's word places upon every single Christian. Not just pastors. Pastors have to watch their teaching, watch what they proclaim. It's not just the pastors. It wasn't just the disciples to whom Jesus was preaching in Matthew 7. It was the crowds gathered on the mount. In his Sermon on the Mount, he told them all, beware of false prophets who come at you as in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. How do you recognize a false prophet? You first of all acknowledge that they are real. And they don't have to be a shyster who's got a TV program and he's trying to beg the people to send in donations while he's wearing his $1,000 suit. And he's got to get more donations from his flock out there on in the television audience so he can buy a new jet or build a new mansion or something like that. Those guys are easy to spot. Is what you're hearing, is what feeds you, is what nourishes you, faithful to God's word? Does it produce the fruit that God wants that teaching to produce? The challenge I'm laying before you today, dear friends in Christ, is frankly how you guys act towards me. I'm, for all intents and purposes, the prophet in this text. I've said before, I'm not a prophet in terms of I don't receive, as Jeremiah talked about saying, I have dreamed. No. I don't claim any special vision from God. I am a prophet insofar as it is my job to take God's word, since you've called me as your pastor, and apply it to your lives. The word he's already spoken in Scripture. Do you know what that means, though? That means it's on you, dear Christians, to know that word. To know our doctrine, our teaching, to know what is faithful. You should never, ever take your pastor at his word. Paul writes in Acts chapter 17, a few chapters before, it's actually Luke who wrote about it, and Paul dealt with the Bereans, this group of people in Berea who heard Paul preach, and then they would go to the Scriptures to look at what he said to see if these things are true. They had a little bit of skepticism. But they weren't so much skeptics as they were faithful. In studying the scriptures to know that what they hear is true and right and godly. Sure, it's great if a congregation has a pastor who is faithful and holds to the scriptures and what he preaches is true and good and right and salutary. But how much stronger is that congregation if its own individual members also read the scriptures, know them, take them to heart, know the doctrine and teachings of their church so they can defend them, so they can hold their pastor to them? Because you see, even I can be the false prophet that Jesus is speaking about. Even I, if I'm not careful in my study of the word, if I allow myself to be tempted or distracted, I could preach to you a word that was not faithful, that was false, that would lead you astray. God forbid that I ever would. But how would you know unless you also were a people rooted in God's word, holding fast to what he has said? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that you know the false prophets, the one who is a ravenous wolf in sheep's clothing. You will know them by their fruit. What is that fruit? Well, it comes just a few chapters earlier in St. Matthew's Gospel. John the Baptist appears on the scene to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching a baptism of repentance. And he calls the crowds to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. The fruit of Christian preaching is repentance. Do you hear a word from your preacher? A word that shows you that you're a sinner, that sin is real, that sin condemns you to hell and damnation? Do you hear a word that proclaims Jesus Christ, God and man, who took all your sin upon himself and bought you eternal life with the blood that he shed? Do you hear the call to turn away from your sin and live the life of repentance? That is what you, dear friends in Christ, should expect from your preacher. Whether it's me or someone else, a couple weeks later this month, I'm taking a couple weeks of vacation. Pastor Tom will be here filling in for me. Expect the same from him. Expect it from me. When you visit out of town and go to a different church, expect the same. Expect that what you hear bears the fruit of repentance. That it reveals people who are condemned by sin, guilty with their transgression, and yet restored in Jesus Christ in his blood at his cross, and placed on the path of repentance to live and serve their God in obedience. You've all heard me quote this, no doubt, many, many times. Martin Luther, when he wrote his 95 theses that he nailed under the door of the church in Wittenberg, the castle church, the first one that he wrote of those 95 said that our whole Christian life, the life lived as a Christian, is a life of repentance, of bringing sin before God, being convicted by his law, being comforted and restored and uplifted by the gospel, and being set anew on the path that he lays before us to serve and obey him. That is the goal of all Christian preaching. Needs to be the goal of every sermon I preach to you, but you can really boil it down to all of that. That we are confronted by our sins, restored, renewed, forgiven, made new, promised life in Jesus Christ, and called anew to serve God in faithfulness. You deserve that. You are owed that. Don't ever settle for less than that from your preacher. So dig into his words, God's words, not the pastor's words. Here are the pastor's words, but dig into God's word. Break out your catechism. Be reminded of what the Christian faith is. Be reminded of what you have a right to expect from your preacher. What he has a duty to give to you. And above all things, above all this, well, not above all of it, but along with all of that, I ask for your prayers for me and for all pastors. Pray that I and all pastors would be faithful to God's word, that we would proclaim the word faithfully. Pray that we would rightly convict you of your sins. Pray that you would not be so upset because your pastor made you uncomfortable and told you something you didn't like. Let him convict you of your sins and pray that he would always do that. Pray that he would preach Jesus Christ, the gospel, giving you the Holy Spirit which fills you with life and which sets you on the path of repentance, turning from sin. These are the things that you have the right to expect from me and from every preacher. And it's the information that, of course, is more than mere information. It's that word of life. It's that word that sustains us and gives us eternity forever and ever and ever. God grant us wisdom to reject the misinformation about God and his word and to hold fast to the word of life where Jesus Christ is the one who works the fruit of repentance in each and every one of us. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.